Heavenly Father, we do bow before Thee this afternoon, being thankful for the temporal provisions past, and now we look forward to spiritual blessings from Thee. We ask Thy blessing upon our dear Brother Edgar, as he directs our thoughts, that our hearts and minds might be receptive to the message that's coming from Thee. We ask forgiveness for our shortcomings and Thy blessing to be in attendance with our brethren the world over. We pray these things by the merit of our dear and loving Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Just one brief announcement before we turn the meeting over to Brother Buckley. The children's class at this time for ages 12 and up, here today to serve us. He has given me his subject, and from his subject, I'm not sure exactly what line of thought he has to bring to our attention. His subject is, by God's appointment, prophet and prophecy. Now, Brother Buckley will explain to us what he has in mind. I know he has something written on the blackboard, and we'll turn that around, and Brother Buckley will make use of the board. Very happy to be with you by the Lord's grace. Bring the Christian love and greetings of the dear ones from Jackson, from Charlotte, where I live, from East Lansing, where our beloved Sister Gertrude Cox and Sister Dora Snow are in a home, and we have opportunity to meet with them every other Tuesday, studying the Tabernacle Shadow. Very blessed experience. Also rejoice that my beloved Sister Leontine is with me. I think most of you know of her illness. The fact that she was given only about 2.5 to 5 years to live. That has been probably 3 to 4 years ago now. She's still with us by the Lord's grace, and she's as well as she will ever be. And this is the first that she's left the state since she came down with her illness. So rejoice with me in that fact. And also that when Leontine no longer was able to go with me, and my beloved mother, who now is 76 years old, has been with me everywhere except here today. And at the age of 50, for one, or more than 1 year, it was for 10 years, she couldn't even go downtown. So where at the age of 50, she was an old woman, at the age of 76, she is young and well. We thought perhaps by the Lord's grace we might bring to your attention a subject that should be near and dear to us all. Loren Gott, I believe many of you know him. He was out east twice in the last few months. And when he came back, he was bubbling over, rejoicing. Everything was so good here. In the East, everyone is so active. Everyone is seeking after that they might serve the Lord the more. And it rubbed off on him. And he, in fact, loves it so much, he can't be wait to get back again. This is something you should know. So, by the Lord's grace, I'm here. Let a little bit right rub off on me. My subject. By God's appointment. That just happens to be Jeremiah and his name meaning appointed by Jehovah. Jeremiah is the one we will study. Jeremiah, we would like to have a portrait thereof. So we consider then as our subject
Jeremiah, by God's appointment, the prophet and prophecy. Jeremiah, beloved, was a man of God. He was a prophet. And just what is a prophet anyway? Well, the Hebrew word is Bel-Nevi'i. It sounds somewhat like Navy. It means a prophet. And just exactly what does a prophet do? Well, the name brings forth the thought of bubbling forth like a fountain. To bubble forth. It is one speaking for another. Making announcement for someone else. As far as we're concerned, it is one who speaks for Jehovah. One who not only speaks, but who bubbles forth with that. And that is what we have as far as Jeremiah is concerned. So, for our prophet, by the Lord's grace, we would like to take a few minutes to consider the life of Jeremiah. Jeremiah lived about the time when the 10 tribes had been taken into captivity to Babylon, but the 2 tribes of Judah, the 2 tribes which comprised the kingdom of Judah, had not yet been. And this was about the time of King Josiah. If you'll recall, if you will look at 2 Chronicles, the 35th chapter, from 19 to the 36th chapter, the 4th verse, it explains, in fact, to the 14th. What happened about that time? And we would just like to go through it briefly. Josiah was a good king. In fact, he said none like that had they in Israel up to that time. The only thing was that at the time when King Necho came down to war, Josiah desired that he wanted a war with him. And King Necho, he said, now here, he said, I have no quarrel with you. He said, you're meddling with God because God would have me to fight this war. But Josiah wouldn't hear of it, and Josiah was killed. But nevertheless, in Israel was written all the things of Josiah, the good that he did. Jeremiah was prophet at that time. He spoke for the Lord. When Josiah died, Jehoahaz was set up in his stead. Jehoahaz lasted about 3 months. And Nebuchadnezzar removed him and set up Jehoiakim in his stead. And he reigned some 11 years, excuse me. He was an evil king. He was removed, and Jehoiachin was set in his stead. He reigned a short time, and he was removed, and Zedekiah took over, reigning another 11 years, and he also was evil. And did evil in the sight of the Lord. So during the time of the prophecies of Jeremiah, of the 5 kings who reigned over Judah, 3 of them were evil. 3 of them did evil in the sight of the Lord. Jeremiah's job was to prophesy in the name of the Lord. We understand of a period of 40 to 42 years, Jeremiah had some 52 prophecies. Those prophecies, for the most part, were not that which was good as far as Judah was concerned. But nevertheless, it was that which Jeremiah was to deliver. He was a man who did the Lord would have him. He was faithful in it. Some of the things the Lord had him to do. For an example, in Jeremiah, the 13th chapter, from 1 to 11, he told him to take a ruined belt, or just a belt, take it and bury it. Leave it for so long a time, then come back. When he comes back, the belt is ruined. It's no good for anything. It's rotten. And he says, bring it forth now and tell Judah. This is what's going to happen to you if you hearken not unto my word. And then the house of the potter. That's recorded in the 18th chapter of Jeremiah. And in this case, he said, go to the potter. And he so does, and the potter makes a vessel. And he said, the vessel is no good. Throw it away. Make another one. Then to Jeremiah saith the Lord, tell Israel, you are that clay in the hand of I, the Lord, the potter, that if you do evil, then I'll throw you away as a piece of clay that's no good. But if you do good, a good piece of clay or a bottle or whatever. And then in Jeremiah, the 16th chapter, where Jeremiah was forbidden to marry because he told him that the sons and daughters in this place will all be destroyed. And that account, if you read it, is quite a thing, believe me. And in the 19th chapter of Jeremiah, the broken flask, where he was told to break a flask and go to Israel and tell them, now here, this is what I, the Lord, will do to you if you hearken not unto my word. And then in Tephanes, in Egypt, where we read in Jeremiah, the 43rd chapter, from 8 to 10, Jeremiah was told by the Lord to go down to Tephanes, to a certain place, and hide a large stone in a terrace of bricks in the house of Pharaoh. And then tell the kingdom of Judah, there is where Babylon's king is going to set up his throne when he's going to take you captive. Now, these were all messages. These were all things that Jeremiah was told to do. Now, let us go, as we look at our board, to our theme text in Jeremiah 1, 5, and 9 through 10. But we'd like to read further than just the fifth verse. We want to read from 5 to through 10, and also from... Well, I've got it recorded here, if you'll excuse me for a moment. Well, it's the last three verses in that first chapter of Jeremiah. Jeremiah 1 and 5. We recounted already the time that Jeremiah was installed as a prophet of the Lord. We read in the fifth verse, the Lord speaking to Jeremiah, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. That is, I set thee apart, O Jeremiah, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Although, bear in mind, he was a prophet mainly to the kingdom of Judah. Then said I, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. Now, this is an attitude of humility, a feeling that I just can't do the job. But the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. This is his confidence. This is his trust. If he trusts in the Lord, he can go forth, therefore, and do what he is told to do, because the Lord said, I am with thee. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down and to build and to plant. Then we go down to the 17th verse and read through 19. Thou therefore gird up thy loins and arise, and speak unto them all that I command thee. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them. For behold, I have made thee this day a defensed city, and an iron pillar, and brazen walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, and against the people of the land. And they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee, for I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee. We have on our board what we note, the pulling down, the destroying, the rooting out, and the throwing down. You notice those are all negative things, four of them. But then you notice two that are positive, to build and to plant. Now, we bear that in mind. There must have been a reason why God would say to Jeremiah, I am making thee a prophet, I am making thee one for the purpose of rooting out, pulling down, destroying, throwing down, and then the very reverse, to build and to plant. How much did Jeremiah pull down? How much did he root out? How much did he pluck up? How much did he destroy? How much did he build and plant? He didn't do any of those things, did he? And yet here, he's told to do it. How so? It is the Lord that doeth these things. Jeremiah's job was just to tell Judah, here it is before thee what the Lord will do. You've got a choice. You make up your mind. What are you going to do? That's the role of a prophet. Ah, yes. So now, to go therefore and speak in the name of the Lord would seem very much to be that it shall be good. And it will be received, and all will be well, and they shall do what they are instructed. But not so. The fallen humanity, when it comes to hearkening unto the word of the Lord, it is repelled. They want no part in it. They don't want to hear of it. They have no desire to do what the Lord would have. For the most part, we might say collectively. As a result, Jeremiah found that things did not go well with him at all. In fact, things got so bad, as you'll recall, in the 20th chapter of Jeremiah, he came to the point where he said, I will no more speak in the name of the Lord. No more to do with it. And then after he had noted that very fact, yet he said, thy words are as a burning fire in my bones, and I could not stay. And we would add, quiet. He couldn't. He couldn't help himself. He had to speak anyway. It is something that he had to say, regardless. So what we have is that Jeremiah, in speaking faithfully for the Lord, among the things that he suffered was an imprisonment, and that an imprisonment whereby that he was lowered into a dungeon. And we think of a dungeon, that in itself is enough. But this dungeon was one that was nothing but mire. But there wasn't any water in it at all. But there was dampness. There was mire. It was, if you please, quicksand, or the next thing there too. And we read in the 38th chapter of Jeremiah that Jeremiah sank in the mire. Now, we've already read the promise of the Lord that I will be with you. He said, you don't have to fear. You don't have to worry. You don't have to be dismayed. So then we read that whereas those who took Jeremiah and put him in there, the king So that you have him. Do with him what you will. But then one Abimelech, who went forth to the king, and he incidentally was an Ethiopian. He, in going forth to the king, proceeded to ask the king, tell the king, now this man is going to die if you leave him in here. And the very king who was the cause of him being put in the dungeon is the same one who said, go and get 30 men and go and pull Jeremiah out of the mire. So that here we have the deliverance of Jeremiah by he who sent Jeremiah to deliver a message, and because of that, Jeremiah winds up in the dungeon. That God who sent him is his protector. So that therefore, Abimelech and those who went with him let down cords and pulled him up out of the mire. So the lesson to us is simply that the Lord promised that he will be with us, he will watch over us, he will take care of us, that we have the trust in him that come what may, no matter what, we will indeed be delivered. If indeed his act is his will so to do. Because Jeremiah didn't wind up free. He was still in prison. But he was not in that dungeon. Because, as Abimelech said, there's no bread in the city and the man will starve to death. Ah. He now is in prison, but he is not in the dungeon. Well, what we find is that being a prophet is not always easy. We also note that when Babylon took Judah captive, that Jeremiah, being taken captive, also went in chains. But nevertheless, we read how that they who captured him noted the fact that this was a prophet of God, and that seeing he trusted in him, that they would not treat him as they did others. We find in the lessons of Jeremiah many things that we think can be of help unto us. And one of the things we note at this moment that comes to my mind is in Jeremiah, the 23rd chapter and the 28th verse. And that is a very, very interesting scripture. It says, let he who hath a dream tell a dream. But he who hath my word, let him tell it faithfully. What has the chaff to the wheat? Think about that. The prophets in Judah, who were not prophesying for the Lord, prophesied smooth things, prophesied things that people wanted to hear. Jeremiah did not. Let him who hath a dream tell a dream. Well, I'm going to tell you about a dream that I had. I'm going to tell you about it for this reason. Because it is a dream, and I did have it, and it did seem some significance to it. And yet at the same time, what? I have no idea. But this dream involves George Eldridge, and I had it about time when he lived in Jackson. And in that dream, George and I was walking down a railroad track, and there was a certain spot so far away, and I said, let's see who can reach that goal first. So we started to run. And George beat me. And when I got there, and George acknowledged the fact that he had won, I said, yes, but you have longer legs than I have. I look at that dream, and I say, what in the world am I dreaming something like that of? Well, perhaps the fact that he may make the kingdom and I may not. It may be that the legs that he has in the spiritual way will better take him than me, or something along that line. But it's just a dream. That's all it is. Nothing more than a dream. Ah, but he who hath my word, let him tell it faithfully. And that means it may be that things may not go so well as far as what it might be that we would suffer. as a prophet, as one who speaks in the role of a prophet, as one who speaks for the Lord. We note Jeremiah. We've read the scripture in Jeremiah 1 and 5. Read it one more time. God saying to him, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee," or "I set thee apart, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." What does that to do with us? Let us note this. Let us note in the case of Jesus. Look at Luke, the first chapter, from 31 to 32. And notice there the wording. Luke, first chapter, from 31 to 32. Speaking of Jesus, "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David." Well, now we note that in the womb he is separated for a purpose. He is the Savior of the world. He shall sit on the throne of David, King of Israel. God is setting apart for a purpose. Ah, but it is more than just that. He also will be a prophet. And that a spiritual one. For we read in Deuteronomy 18 and 15, where Moses said, "A prophet shall the Lord God raise up unto you like unto me. Him shall ye hear." He's speaking of Jesus. Here we have him set apart already. We go to Paul. And we note in Galatians, the first chapter, in the 15th verse, the Apostle Paul tells us that he was set apart. Notice his words. Galatians 1:15. "But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb," here we have that sanctification again, "and called me by his grace." Notice those words again, and notice those in Jeremiah 1:5, and what have we got? Same thought, and here we have what we believe, that when James and Don ask Jesus if they could sit the one on his right hand and the other on his left, and he said, "It is not mine to give." We feel that certainly Paul, the work that he did, would be sitting on the right hand of Jesus. He was set apart for a purpose, to be a part of that prophet. And then we go on to the church as a whole. That which we'd be a part of. And we note there, as far as the church is concerned, noting again the words in Jeremiah 1:5, set apart for a purpose, sanctified to be a prophet. And then turning to Galatians, the 4th chapter and the 26th verse. "But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all." Jerusalem, which is from above. This, we believe, is a picture of the grace covenant, the Sarah feature of the Abrahamic covenant, that from which the church is brought up under. So that the sanctifying, the setting apart to be a prophet, to be a part of that prophet, which Christ is the head, that we have it all before us. And so what we have is a matter of a prophet that will pull down and destroy, root out and throw down, will build and plant. Ah, but what has that to do with us now? The time when we're running for that prize. How much pulling down and destroying? How much rooting out? How much throwing down? How much building? How much planting do we do? Well, it's time now. Such things are only possible within ourselves. We have something within us to pull down, to root out, to destroy, to pluck up, if you please. We have those things to do within our own character before we can be any use to the Lord otherwise. Ah, but we can do some planting. We can do some building. Yes, there is a tearing down, and there is a building work within us. And not only that, but we can help one another insofar as the helping to root out those things within us that should not be there. You'll notice the expression as it's given. You'll notice first, in the matter of pulling down and destroying, if a building is to be torn down, that another might be built. That's what has to be done. The old has to be done away with before the new can replace it. So also with one who plants. In the case of many, gardening or farming or whatever, but that which is planted for the year, and then a harvest is done, and then the next spring, there has to be a rooting out, a plucking up, a doing away with the old so the new can be planted. And so we have the picture of that which the Lord intends, of that which He did in Jeremiah's day in the case of the kingdom of Judah and what Jeremiah's role was. We look today at what the Lord is doing. It is the Lord's work. Yes. He is doing the rooting out, the pulling up, and all the rest of it. And He will do the building and planting also. But our part is to speak in the name of the Lord. That's what Jeremiah's work was. We now have a work that Jeremiah had. And by the Lord's grace, we would try to do that work. And that work is simply to speak in the name of the Lord, a role of a prophet. We wouldn't call ourselves prophets now, insofar as that we are sons. But part of our sonship is to speak in the name of the Lord. There will be a time we'll be a part of that prophet, yeah. But now, we have the role of a prophet that to do in speaking in the name of the Lord. We might find a little bit of opposition, but nothing like the opposition that Jeremiah had. Another incident comes to mind in the 36th chapter of Jeremiah, in which Jeremiah recorded all the prophecies that he was given, all the things that he was to do, the Lord would have him to do. But he didn't write them down himself. He had one Baruch to do it for him, one who was his secretary, you may say. We turn to the 36th chapter of Jeremiah, and we notice there that Baruch was told to go and tell the people, just read to them the things that he wrote from the hand of Jeremiah that it was heard from the Lord, that the Lord delivered unto him. So Baruch did this. And we note in that 36th chapter of Jeremiah that after having so done, the princes came to Jeremiah and they said, come, let's take this to the king and let him hear it. Now, Jeremiah had much to do with the government of that time. We don't. He was ushered forth to the presence of the king more than once. And when he delivered his message, it was to all of Judah, and especially to the king. Well, in this particular instant, they wouldn't allow Jeremiah to come in. But Baruch, they would. So they asked Baruch to come in. And we read that Baruch did so. As we have the 15th verse in the 36th chapter of Jeremiah, they said unto him, "Sit down now and read it in our ears." So we read, Baruch read in their ear. Right here. Then we go on with the count, and what we find is that they listened to it all, and then they said, "Well, now the king has got to hear this." Before that, they told Baruch to go and hide himself. "But don't tell anybody where you are. Take Jeremiah with you." So the princess, and we read in the 20th verse, went to the king and proceeded to tell all the words in the ears of the king. So the king sent Jehudi to fetch the roll. He took it out of Elishama's and the scribe's chamber, and Jehudi read it in the ears of the king and the ears of all the princesses which stood before the king. Now the king sat in the winter house in the 9th month, and there was a fire on the hearth burning before him. And it came to pass that when Jehudi had read 3 or 4 leaves, he cut it with a penknife and cast it into the fire that was on the hearth until all the roll was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth. Yet they were not afraid, nor rent their garments, neither the king nor any of his servants that heard all these words. Now what you've got is the fact that here's the word of the Lord. And as far as the king is concerned, who being the king of Judah, should be the more aware of what the Lord would have, the only thing that it meant to him was that it was just waste paper that you cut up and burn in the fire. That's all. Nothing more. And we go on with the reading. We find that because of that, the Lord pronounced unto him that he would die. But we go down to that 32nd verse, and this is what we find. Then took Jeremiah another roll, and gave it to Baruch the scribe, the son of Neriah, who wrote therein from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the book which Jehoiakim, king of Judah, had burned in the fire, and there were added besides unto them many like words. What have we got? The Lord not only is the author of his word, but he is its protector. So that there is no way God's word will be destroyed. So as we go forth, as we pronounce, that is to say, announce or speak forth the name of the Lord, no matter what, come what may, his word shall prevail. Brother Russell has 2 excellent articles which deal with Jeremiah and his role as a prophet, and which also points out what our role is now insofar as what we are to speak. One of the articles is found on page 2400 in the reprints. The name of it is Fighting Against God. Here are some of the things that he wrote. The Lord's message at the mouth of Jeremiah practically held out no hope for a permanent return of divine favor in the near future, but on the contrary predicted that Judah would be carried away captive as Israel, the other 10 tribes, her sister had been. And as though emphasizing this thought, the Lord declared to Jeremiah, "Though Moses and Samuel stood before me, yet my word or my mind could not be changed toward this people. Cast them out of my sight." Thus Jeremiah was what could be esteemed a prophet of evil, a pessimist. It is not surprising, therefore, that in his obedience to the Lord, in his faithfulness in speaking forth the word of the Lord, he became greatly disesteemed of his fellow countrymen, who doubtless would have honored him highly had he prophesied unto them smooth things, promise of coming blessings and greatness as a nation. Thus we see that Jeremiah had not only the opposition of the idolatrous people of the kingdom, but the disfavor also of the reformers of his day, who thought indeed that they were doing a grand work and should be complimented thereon and should have messages of divine favor. We cannot avoid noting the remarkable similarity of Jeremiah's position to that of the Lord's people today, who are enlightened with the present truth, and who, as the messengers of God, declare this truth. These note with pleasure the fact that there are many great reforms in progress at the present time. Nevertheless, they are obliged to speak from the divine standpoint. He that hath my word, let him speak my word. And in thus speaking for the word of the Lord, they oppose and contradict the many fanciful dreams of present-day reformers, who are vainly hoping that as a result of civilization and through human efforts, and especially those of their party, all the promised blessings are about to flow to the world of them. All the promised blessings, and thus by human efforts establish righteousness in the earth and bless all the heathen. The Jeremiah class of today is obligated to point out that all the various efforts being put forth for the conversion of the world will never bring the desired result. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as is done in heaven. And as Jeremiah was faithful to the Lord, bound to proclaim the coming overthrow of the kingdom, so the Lord's people of the present time, who have his word of present truth, cannot disguise or withhold the fact that a great time of trouble is approaching, is now even at the door, and that it will mean the complete obliteration of present order of things and anarchy. On this account, we are esteemed by many to be pessimists and prophesiers of evil. Our opponents, in their bitterness, entirely overlooking and ignoring the fact that we present at the same time and from the same word of the Lord the most glorious optimism conceivable, and show most clearly that the approaching time is merely the precursor of the great blessings which God has promised shall come to all the families of the earth. And through the imperfect powers of fallen men, or not through the imperfect powers of fallen men, but through the perfect powers of our glorious Lord and his glorified church, his bride. One more thing that he has to say. The world may even attempt to destroy the printed page or hinder its circulation, but the attempt will be futile, as it was in Jeremiah's case. Amongst those who were present at the destruction of the Lord's message by the king, three only offered any protest, and they manifest no indication, no sorrow, but merely advise in a worldly wise way that the king be not rash. So there are today those who have some interest in present truth, some knowledge respecting it, and who, nevertheless, for fear of their influence in worldly church and political circles, would do no more than advise a more liberal court. Meantime, Realizing the king's attitude of heart in opposition to the message, Jeremiah and Baruch fled, hid themselves, as expressed in the lesson, the Lord hid them, prevented their royal enemy from finding them. We shall not be greatly surprised if in the not very distant future, not only the message of present truth will be considerably in disrepute before those in high positions, but also its servants and promulgators. These also may need to hide from injustice, but the Lord is able to shield them. This is something we do well to bear in mind. Also this from the pen of our beloved Brother Russell. He said, not being ashamed of the Lord and His message implies that we will be faithful in the presentation of the same when convenient or when inconvenient. To the best of our knowledge and our ability, we will speak forth the words of truth and soberness as wisely as possible, as inoffensively as possible, but we must speak. As the apostle said, when forbidden to declare the good tidings, we cannot but speak the things we have seen and heard, as recorded in Acts 4:20. But it is only those who have heard something and seen something who have any testimony to give. Those who know nothing may as well keep quiet. Well, now that is very strong language. Until by the Lord's grace the eyes of our understanding are open, until we have seen something of His grace exhibited in His divine plan, we are not prepared, not qualified to tell others. We must first receive the living bread before we can dispense it. We must first know the truth and be set free by it before we can become its bond servants, before it could be the truth of us as it was of the apostle, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. In Matthew's, the 5th chapter and the 10th verse, we read as one of the blessed Beatitudes, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Brother Russell notes, as the poet declares, we know not what awaits us. That is, we know not with distinctiveness what to expect. In a general way, we are informed by the Lord's word that a great time of trouble is impending. It is not our duty to make this our central theme. Rather, the good tidings of great joy, which shall be unto all people, secured to the precious blood of Christ, is our central theme. And in connection with this is the proclamation of the terms and conditions upon which we hope to be accepted of the Father as joint heirs with Christ, members of His body. Occasionally, and only occasionally, need we enter upon the role of Jeremiah to be announcers of the evil conditions coming upon the world. Perhaps, as we get down in the stream of time nearer to the actual trouble, we may see it to be our duty to call attention to it more particularly and to urge the people to take the course which would save them from the severity of that trouble. The course of harmony and accord with the Lord. Now, this is the role of prophet. This is what a prophet does. This is what he's pointing out. He gives forth what the Lord would expect, and then he gives you the choice. He said, when that time shall come, such advice will doubtless run counter to the wishes and ambitions of some who will then be in power. And it may be that we shall be imprisoned or otherwise maltreated, after the example of Jeremiah. The Lord knoweth what is necessary for us to know. It is sufficient that we have the gracious promise that all things shall work together for good to those who love him, and that we should be able to trust him come what may. We bear these words in mind, and we think of Jeremiah. We think of what he was asked to do, and that he was faithful in it. But as we look at the character of Jeremiah, we note something that I think helps us to realize that it is not a matter whereby the Lord is looking for someone that is perfect to do his work for him. No, one who relies completely upon him. Note this, reading the character of Jeremiah. He was sensitive to a most painful degree. Timid, shy, hopeless, disheartening, desponding, constantly complaining, dissatisfied with the course of events, but never flinching from duty, timid in resolve, but unflinching in execution, fearless in facing the world, yet murmuring when in the presence of God. He thought himself feeble and his mission a failure, yet in the hour of action and when duty called, he was a defensed city, an iron pillar, and brazen walls to all the land. What does that mean? He spoke for the Lord. And because he spoke for the Lord, he did that which pleased the Lord and which brought forth exactly what was to happen, just as was prophesied by Jeremiah. So we look before us, and what have we? Jeremiah. Yes. Now, us also. By God's appointment. Prophet and prophecy. To pull down. To destroy. To root out. To throw down. All that is evil. The Lord will see to it. All we have to do, what the Lord would have. And in its place, to build and to plant. That is something we have, brethren, to do that is the most precious thing you can imagine. We cannot even begin to realize. We have no way. That's what we want, to build and to plant. Beautiful. But there is a tearing down to be done first. Therefore, we note these things. And what have we? Our work before us that is blessed, a joy to behold, and all we need to do is do it. And shall be some things not so well, as there are some things very good. They will be not so well for the flesh, but nevertheless, they will be to the Lord. It was with Jeremiah, so also with us, by the Lord's grace, that we might speak in the name of the Lord. And may the Lord add his blessing on what has been said.
Thank you very much, Brother Buckley. We appreciate your thoughts on Jeremiah, his prophecy, and especially on how his actions and words relate to our own Christian conduct and service to the Lord. We have a couple of brief announcements. One is we have a message of Christian love and greetings from Brother and Sister Ed Bilecki in Detroit, and also Sister Hudak, who now lives in Detroit. Also, I'd like to call to your attention the table at the rear of the auditorium on which there are quite a number of letters addressed to brethren who are either ill or isolated and would no doubt appreciate a few words of encouragement or at least a few words of greeting. Some of you have written on some of these letters already. Any of you who haven't, we would urge you to take advantage of this opportunity of being of service to some brethren who would appreciate hearing from you and appreciating a few words of encouragement. Following the close of this meeting with a hymn and a prayer, we'll have a very brief intermission, and we'll try to start at 4 o'clock with the last discourse. That will only allow us less than 10 minutes for our intermission. So don't stray too far from your seats, because the intermission will be very brief. At that time, we'll hear from Brother Bob Alexander. Let's close with the first and last verses of hymn number 261. Hymn number 261, the first and last verses.
We thank you, our dearly beloved Heavenly Father, for thy word, for our opportunity to speak in thy name, for Jeremiah, for that which he had an example to us. And surely we ask thou would be with us in our efforts to serve thee. Thank thee for all that thou hast done for us. And as we further wait before thee, we give thanks for all in Jesus' precious name. Amen.